with Pokemon just printing and printing the new Pokemon TCG sets, is it going to ruin the prices? And is Generation 9 going to start with a slapper of a set? That's what you guys want to know, and we are going to talk about. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to TCG Funhouse, where we talk all things Pokemon TCG. And my name is Travis, and I have invited my friend here once again. I believe his name is ASX, right? Is that your
it's
name?
Something like that along the lines, you know. Those three letters go together in some sort of combination. But yes, I'm ASX, and happy to be here yet again to answer some of your guys' questions.
This is another Q&A, guys. Another Q&A. We've been posting these every single Monday for the last few weeks, and you guys seem to really enjoy it. So we are back at it again. I'm sorry? Did I say Monday?
I think you said Mondays.
It's Fridays. We post these on Fridays. Whatever day it is, I don't know. Hopefully it's not Monday. Friday is so much better than Monday. You guys know that for sure. Be quiet over there, SXATCG. But yeah, guys, we do have some questions from you guys here. And if you want your questions answered by Travis and ASX of the Gym Leaders Podcast, make sure you guys leave your questions down in the comment section or send them over to us over on Instagram, Twitter, or anywhere else we may be. I believe we even have Gmail accounts. Who really knows? But yeah, so first spicy topic that we're going to talk about today is over from Darth Cage over on Instagram. He says, do you think that the state of Pokemon will decline with all of this production? So all this extra printing that Pokemon TCG has done with the explosion of popularity, is it going to just ruin the singles prices down the road? ASX, what's your thought?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you would think, right, like the more and more they pump out, the, you know, the lower the prices are going to get on singles, the lower the prices are going to get on sealed product, all that stuff. But what I've been finding interesting, you know, and I feel like it's been more recently, and you know, let me know if you guys feel differently down in the comments, but like pull rates have gotten like considerably harder in the Sword and Shield era, I feel like. And I mean, when you have a lot harder pull rates, you know, that's going to help increase the price of all these singles. So I think that, you know, I don't think it's really going to die. I think it's going to kind of continue to kind of have an upslope, really.
Yeah, so we talked, if you guys didn't watch our last episode of our podcast? We talked about how there's like a new era in the Pokemon TCG, and part of the new era of the Pokemon TCG is these high production rates. And one thing that we talked about is how the pull rates have gotten significantly harder. And that doesn't mean technically, you know, that they're any worse than they were before, but what's happening is because they're printing so much more, they're seeding the hits in less and less packs to where, you know, the Charizard was like 1 in 50 something and the Umbreon is like 1 in 2500, which makes it a significantly more rare card at the end of the day in terms of how many packs are being opened up. That being said, ASX, yes, it is going to devalue the price of these singles. Maybe not just the top tier singles, right? So, yeah, the alternate arts and stuff like that may still hold tremendous values, but let's already look at the price of V cards and V Max cards. They are absolutely in the gutter. Rainbow cards are almost all the Sword and Shield rainbow cards, unless it's a really big fan favorite, like a Snorlax V Max or a Mew V Max or whatever, right? Whether it's playable or whatever. But most rainbows are under $10.
Yeah.
Almost all rainbow trainers are under $10. Almost all the gold cards that are not active in decks are under $10. You can get all of these extraordinarily, quote-unquote, rare and hard-to-find cards at extremely affordable prices. So even though things like the Umbreon VMAX Alternate Art and, you know, the Charizard V Alternate Art are still going to carry these crazy good prices, it is absolutely destroying the price of the regular V and Holo and VMAX and V-Star even for the most part, which is a little bit bum for me. It's a little bit concerning. So as the value of these big, massive price cards, like, they skyrocket. The regular cards that we pull on a daily basis are like way, way, way down. You know, we're like at least EXs and GXs were still like $3 to $7 when you pulled one back in the day. The Vs, almost all Vs, regular Vs, are under $1, unless they're playable in the TCG. They're all like sub then $1. It's $2. It's $2-3.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts on it, on that one right there. So let us know in the comment section what you guys think. Feel free to answer these questions as well. Don't just ask us your own questions, but also, hey, I want to hear what you guys have to think. Because that's kind of what this episode is about, right? This Q&A episode. It's about getting your guys' thoughts and opinions as well and seeing how much they add up with ours. So,
yeah,
absolutely. Next question here that is going to be, you know, another hot topic over here. Again, I apologize. I don't remember who asked this one. I did not write it down. I am sorry. So if this is your question, let us know that down in the comment section as well. But will Generation 9 start off with a tremendous banger slapper of a set? Or are they going to ease us into it like they did with Sword and Shield base and Sun and Moon base?
That's a good question, because it's like we're in a totally different, like we just talked about, you know, we're in a totally different era now for Pokemon cards. But, you know, I think they might kind of go the route of the Sword and Shield era, because they kind of already have that framework, right? They know how it went and kind of what they can improve on that way. And I feel like just kind of looking back at like Sun and Moon base set and Sword and Shield base set. I don't think it's going to be a huge slapper coming out of the gate, because I feel like a lot of the first couple sets really are used to kind of build the base of that generation for the TCG, if that makes sense. So in a lot of those first few sets, you find a lot of cards that are, you know, going to kind of be staples in the beginning, especially when it comes to like trainer cards and stuff like that. Like thinking back, like Sword and Shield base, we got like, I think Marnie came in that one.
Quick
huge
ball.
Card, still in almost everybody's deck. Quick ball, literally in almost everybody's deck. So you have cards like that. Not a lot of the Pokemon are still in decks. I mean, you got like Zacian is still kind of used a lot. You know, you go to Rebel Clash, you have Boss's Order still used a lot. So I feel like a lot of those first sets really help set up like the playing end of it. You know, we obviously get better cards in that throughout the generation, but I feel like they use those first couple sets to kind of set that up a little bit more. And then that's when they kind of bring in, you know, like the big hitters and stuff. I mean, kind of thinking back, we had Sword and Shield base, Rebel Clash, and then we had Darkness Ablaze, which was like the first set with the Charizard, right? The first super, super exciting set, the first Charizard chase we had. So I kind of have a feeling they might go that route.
Yeah, I kind of see the same thing. Unfortunately, I don't see Generation 9 starting off with some bangers. Because what they do is not only do they set the stage for the game, the TCG game, it's an introductory set. It's an introductory set. It tells us it's here are the box art legendaries for Pokemon. Scarlet and Violet. For some reason, I was thinking Sapphire. I was like, why am I talking about Sapphire?
Taking us back a little bit.
But yeah, so it's like, so here, you know, usually the first set is one of two things. It's either the box art legendaries or it's the starters, right? Sword and Shield kind of did it vice versa. They gave us the Zacian Zamazenta up front, and then they gave us, you know, the three starters in Rebel Clash. The whole set was based around the starters, basically. I would kind of expect them to follow that suit again, to where the first two sets, yes, there's going to be trainer cards that are important for the generation, and then there's also going to be the introductory sets of, you know, the new Pokemon, right? Like, here's the two box art legendaries, here are the Yampers of the world and the Corviknights of the world and that sort of thing to build the Generation 9. And the problem with that is there's never any really big, massive chase cards because people aren't familiar with them, right? So, like, when there's a Charizard, people know they want the Charizard. When there's a Rayquaza and a Mew and a Mewtwo and a Umbreon, people know they want those cards. People aren't so right. sure if they want a Fuecoco, you know? Like, they're not...
What?
You heard me, you son of a gun. They're not Fuecoco. So sure yet. So
he's going to be the most popular starter, I'm calling it out.
But, like, you know, giving us a rainbow rare of the final evolutionary form of the new game doesn't really tickle everybody's fancy for collectors, right?
Right.
Now, in Sword and Shield Base, they did. There's always, like, that one Pokemon they try to get you excited about. So, like, in Sword and Shield Base, it was Snorlax. They gave us the Snorlax VMAX that everybody was stoked about and the rainbow and all that stuff. And back in Sun and Moon Base, they gave us Espeon and Umbreon rainbows and full arts, which those were the two that they wanted the people to connect with. And I do wonder who it's going to be for the Generation 9, right? So that's the one thing where I can see they could potentially give us a banger if they give us a banger Pokemon that stands out from the rest. We know we're going to get the Foundation. We know we're going to get the new Pokemon. But who is that, like, one that they're just going to throw in there
right.
that really makes you want it? You know, are they going to give us Dragonite Rainbow or Gyarados Rainbow and alternate arts? Right. Or, like, what are they going to give us? Which of the fan-favorite Pokemon are they going to give us? If they give us a Charizard in the first set, then obviously it's going to be a banger, right? Right. So it's going to go Foundation introduction, and then usually that third or fourth set, like Champion's Path, I think was the fourth set, our first subset of the generation. It's going to be just like that again. We're going to get that subset, and then that's where people are going to get really excited, and that's where the bangers are going to be. Like, I mean, you agree, like, normally the subset is where you get the first big bangers, right?
Oh, yeah. Just thinking back, I mean, that's when we had the two shiny Charizards, or not two shiny Charizards. Yeah,
but the rainbow and the shiny.
And the rainbow. So, yeah, they got to be doing something very, very similar to that again.
I bet you Darkness Ablaze is still salty that they moved that Rainbow Charizard to that subset. Completely unwarranted and completely unnecessary. Should not have happened.
Not at all. Darkness Ablaze would have been a way better set.
They had the Rainbow
Charizard. Champion's Path would have been a way worse set had it not had that.
Yeah, they could have done other things, though.
Champion's Path's not a great set.
They could have done other things. Like, come on. They literally just said, here's a set with two Charizards and nothing else. They could have expounded on the... on the shiny full arts and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it really felt like they built the Champion's Path set and just were like, man, this set's not great, guys. Let's put two Charizards in it.
Yeah, and we'll put one in the ETB, so make it three, you know. Yeah,
exactly.
Completely agree there. So, again, let us know in the comment section what you guys think. Next question here. Again, I'm one for three, guys. I'm really sorry. I didn't write who this was from. So again, if it's your question, let us know in the comment section. And I'll do better next time. I promise. I will do better. Which Sword and Shield era alternate art card is going to appreciate over time the most? Which one is the most investable alternate art card? What are your thoughts, ASX?
Over time. Okay.
Now you got to remember this. Before you answer, remember this.
Yeah.
This doesn't mean what card is going to be the most expensive. This means what card is going to appreciate the most.
Right.
So is there is there an undervalued card out there that could go up in price? Or are we still thinking Umbreon is going to go up more than anything else?
Well, now I feel like I got to get all the alternate arts in front of me here.
All right, well, while you do that,
PCG player.
While you do that, I'll tell you this. It's going to be Charizard. It's going to be the Charizard V alternate art.
I want to go with that. So, all right.
I'll give another answer as well. But just off the cuff, it is going to be the Charizard because it's Charizard. At the end of the day, even though Umbreon is the one that's like kind of holding fort right now, I would not be surprised in 8, 9, 10 years, if the Charizard V alternate art was, in fact, the most expensive alternate card of the era, even over the Umbreon, over the Rayquaza, and that's just where it sits, because it's freaking Charizard. Okay, now you can go ahead now.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, I'd probably end up on Charizard as well. But if we had to say which one, okay, so if I had to say which do I think are going to appreciate a lot more
just one.
No, it's going to be a couple. But it has a theme. It has a theme.
You're going to say the evolutions, aren't you?
I think it might be the Medicham V. Yeah, of course I was going to say the Pro.
Freaking A. You know what? If you guys want to be the other co-host of the Q&A, put your application in the comment section. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I think it was those because, like, I mean, I'll tell you, I never saw those out on the shelves. Maybe I just didn't look hard enough. But, you know, I feel like those were, like, way, way low of a print run. And I think once, like, you really can't get that sealed anymore and nobody's opening those up, I really think you're going to see the you know, three original, the Jolteon, Vaporeon, and the Flareon promos. I think you're going to see those jump. So if we weren't looking at Charizard here, I would probably say those three.
I think that's a very good answer. That's a very, very... Now, do you think the V-Maxes and V... They probably are going to go up the same, right? They're all going to be pretty consistent. I think that's a very good answer because the main reason, I'm going to disagree with you in a minute, but finally, hooray. everyone in the comment section, rejoice! But I just screamed really loud. I'm sorry. Earphone warning. But yeah, so because people forget about it, right? They forget about the Black Star promos. They don't really consider that. They'll look at Brilliant Stars and they'll look at Evolving Skies and Chilling Rain. They'll try to find, you know, a sleeper or something like that when... Really, I mean, what are, you got the prices right there. What are the VMAX, Flareon, Jolteon, and Vaporeon going for right now?
I didn't have the prices right there. You caught me off guard.
You said you had TCG player pulled up.
I do.
You hurt my feelings.
I do.
But anyway, yeah, when you compare them to like the Leafeons and the Glaceons of the world, they're significantly less. You know, they're almost like half the price of those cards. Because you could find them at, you know, inside those, they were guaranteed, right? You're guaranteed to get them. But like you said, they were probably one of the lower print runs as well. So I can completely agree with you with those. But that being said, my choice is a Pokemon that I feel has been completely disrespected in the entire Sword and Shield era and the impact that it has on the niche as a whole. And that's Mew. I think the Mew VMAX alternate art and the Mew V alternate art are going to be two extraordinarily pricey cards in the future. I think they're going to be extraordinarily sought after cards in the future. And it still blows my mind that the Mew VMAX has fallen to like $70, $74. And yet the Espeon and the Gengar for Fusion Strike are both still over $100. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy to me too.
I wasn't sure which of the three was going to be number one, but I thought all three were going to be like 1A, 1B, and 1C.
I thought it was going to be like neck and neck. Like literally every week you'd look and it'd like, you know, they just go up like a dollar over one another. You know,
Me too. So it blew my mind that the Mew VMAX alternate art fell so much, especially since it's such a playable card right now as well. Mew VMAX is one of the most popular decks in the TCG.
Oh, yeah.
Way more so than the Gengar and Espeon. So I don't know if that's why the prices are lower because more people are buying them, which means the market could be affected that way, you know? So like if 40 Mew VMAXs are bought and only 10 Espeon and Gengars are, that I could see why they might show up as a more affordable price at that point. But it does surprise me because in my opinion, Mew is one of those top 3 to 5 Pokemon that you want in your collection. And the full arts and the promos and the vintage holos always carry pretty well with Mew, kind of like they do with the Rayquazas and, you know, that sort of thing as well. So I was very surprised to find the Mew VMAX alternate art fall so far. Like, absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it.
No, I agree with you. I think that one's definitely going to jump back up down the line when people realize, like, oh man, that really was an awesome card. I probably should have picked that up a while ago. I got those prices on those cards here really quick.
Okay.
So for the Jolteon V alternate art, $20 market price. The V Max, $30 market price.
Okay.
For the Vaporeon, we're looking at $22 on the V alternate, and 29 on the VMAX.
Okay.
And then Flareon, we're looking at 21 on the V and 20 on the VMAX. So the V is actually more expensive than the VMAX.
Yeah, they must have sold a couple of damaged cards or something to bring that market price down.
Probably, yeah.
But
I definitely think that's, I mean.
So, yeah. So how many are available? And how many are available of them?
Like,
just give me one of them, 20, rough estimate.
Yeah, okay. So the Flareon V's got 28 listings.
28 listings. 17. That's nothing. That's nothing.
Yeah. Right.
That's nothing, guys. So there's absolutely no reason why the Flareon should be pushing a price of $21 for the V, and I'm just going to say $30 for the V Max, because there's probably some shenanigans going on in there with some damage cards being sold recently. To just kind of mirror the other two, right? So, and to where, you know, the Glaceon, Leafeon, and Sylveon V Maxes are all over $100, and the V's are all between $50 and $70. Like, that blows my mind, because I guarantee you could probably see how many are available on the Evolving Skies alternate arts for those. Probably more than 20. I'm gonna guess there's probably 35, probably 30 to 40 of like the Glaceon, Leafeons and stuff like that. I want to see if I'm accurate. Hopefully it's not like, oh no, there's only five.
Let me see here. Shoot, I just accidentally went back. Hang on.
Way to go, man. Way to go. So, while you look up that, I'm going to queue up one of our other questions here, and it's going to be a quick response question.
You were looking for how many are listed, right?
Like the Glaceon, Leafeon VMAXs,
or V's. Glaceon VMAX 18, Sylveon 32.
So Sylveon 32, Leafeon 33. There we go. So the Glaceon has less available, but the other two are right kind of where I thought they would be. Which again is less than the three promos. So again, I agree with you 100%. I think that's a good buy. Just a real quick pop shot answer here. How do you guys, this is from Cody. Cody over on Instagram. How do you guys store your most valuable cards?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it's something that we should always be talking about so we can keep our collections pristine. The best, I got one right here.
Uh-oh, he's leaving.
So, as you can see, one of my best cards, hopefully it comes into focus there, the shiny Charizard VMAX. So what I do is I just go pick up one of these magnetic cases. Where am I at? One of these magnetic cases here from Walmart. They're like less than $5 a case, I think.
Yeah.
And I put it in a perfect fit sleeve, the card in the perfect fit sleeve. It goes inside the magnetic holder, and then I got a team bag that just fits right around it to keep out any dust or debris. So that's how I keep the bangers safe.
That is exactly how I keep my biggest hits stored as well. I will say, though, I'm a little bit upset. I found some more of them at the store the other day, and they're a different size. They're smaller.
What?
I know.
Oh, that's not good. That changes things.
they fit the card perfectly still, but they're just smaller in general. So it's not necessarily a bad change. But what ticks me off is now I got my littler ones in the same little spot as my bigger ones, and it drives me crazy with my OCD. So, but yes, I do the exact same thing, and you guys can get, they actually have, I think they're called one-touch sealable bags. So they have team bags, one-touch bags, and graded card bags. So one-touch sealable bags. So I do the same thing. Perfect fit, which you can get over on Dragon Shield or Titan Shield using the link in the description here. The Titan Shield has a discount code. The other one is just an affiliate link. They got the best perfect fits on the market. I even have these. Let me see if I can pull them out here. Right here. These perfect fit Dragon Shields that are sealable. They will seal.
Oh, those are cool.
Yeah, they seal right back on the back end, and it's not like glue or anything, so you don't have to worry about that. You just kind of tuck the little tip into the back of the sleeve, and it fits perfectly, and they go right inside that one touch as well. Otherwise, you guys know how it is. The old trusty Dragon Shield matte sleeve along with top loader is another good way. Dragon Shield also makes some good slipcase binders, and there's good zipper binders over on Amazon from Vault-X for some of the more middle-of-the-road cards, so on and so forth. As long as you guys are doing something along those lines, your collection will be completely fine. Especially in today's market, I don't think you need to go out of your way to grade cards or anything like that. Although we do have some couple of interesting videos coming up with AGS grading. So if you guys don't know, they reached out to both ASX and I, and we are going to be sending off some shipments, getting them back, and doing a little review on AGS grading, because I am a skeptic of grading, and they basically said, hey guys, you know, we think that our AI grading is going to change your mind on the way you think about it, because my biggest problem with grading is the subjectivity of the grader.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that they can basically have the power to control the market, which I find is a problem. So I 100%. Am a little excited to see how they do it. I sent a wide range of cards to them. Everything nice. From Japanese to regular holo to VMAX to shiny to full art to everything. So that was my goal. I said to myself, I'm going to send them one of a little bit of everything that I have, because I want to see how consistent they are with all of their grading. So I'm excited for that. And I know ASX, they reached out to you, and you're going to be doing something similar, right?
Yeah. I'm splitting my video up into a couple. So I already got one up on my channel right now, just awesome. Kind of showing you guys the cards. Yeah, that I'm sending in, and give you a little bit of an update. I just got the confirmation that they made it to AGS today. So that part is out the window. they have the cards in hand. USPS made it there.
Biggest question mark, that darn USPS, oh, man.
Gosh. Oh, seriously. I mean, I even had the insurance on the package, and I was still sweating. But anyways, they made it there. So yeah, definitely check that video out if you guys are interested in seeing what kinds of cards I sent in. I probably didn't send in quite as big a variety as you did, mm-hmm. But I definitely I sent in some Japanese cards. I sent in pretty much mostly modern, but I sent in like duplicates. So to kind of
me too, I sent in a couple dupes too to see how consistent they were. Card.
Exactly, yeah. And then I did send in actually my vintage base set Venusaur, Japanese base set Venusaur. That it's pretty heavily played, so I was really interested in how that one's gonna. You know, going to kind of come out, and really that was just to kind of preserve how the card is in its current state. But yeah, I'm interested in seeing, you know, how they're going to do it. You know, you can go online and really see like every little line, you know, that's on the card apparently. So I'm really excited to check it out.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. It's going to be cool and fun and interesting for sure. So to make sure you guys don't miss out, please drop a sub here on TCG Funhouse. Down in the description is a link to ASX's channel. So go subscribe to his channel as well. While you're down there, hit that like. While you're down there, again, leave us a comment and let us know what you guys want to ask, right? Ask us a question. We will do our best to answer it. I got a couple more in the pipeline, but we're getting to the point where we need some questions, guys. So ask us away. Just get down there and start asking, and we will get around to it. So thank you guys so much. I hope you all have a wonderful night. We'll be right back.